expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Barbara from Harlem, and thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to listen to our urban story. And you know, my co-host is right here with me.
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's BB Diamond.
And we're so happy that we're able to be here with you on this wonderful and beautiful Saturday afternoon. Well, we're going to get right to it because, of course, we are all thinking about the sad incident that happened in Florida. Ms. Diamond, what do you say about that?
Well, you know, of course, it's a tragedy, what happened in Florida in Parkland High School. It was an act of evil. And if the government really failed on just so many different levels and in so many different ways, and it's really a shame. Shame really doesn't describe what has happened, but it's really ashamed that the government failed. When I say government, I really specifically am zeroing in on the local government in Broward County, the sheriff's department, the school system, the social services system. Now, why do I say that? We're not talking about a town that I'm aware of with a million people. I think it's a pretty small town. It's not the Bronx. It's not Brooklyn. It's not even Miami. From what I understand, based on what I've been reading, the police were called to this young man's house at least 39 times. 39 times the police were called to his house. And why was there no connection to what was going on, that the fact that he was troubled? I mean, if the police have to be called to someone's home, a student's home, 39 times, and he was expelled from school.
Yes.
And he went on social media to talk about his guns, and he wanted to kill people, from what I understand. On top of all this, the FBI was alerted to this troubled young man in September, and again as recently as a few weeks ago in January of this year, and nothing was done. I agree with radio host Rush Limbaugh that there were failures at several levels, and it's really a shame.
Yes, I think it's a shame and a disgrace. And you know, I would like to have examined the policies that prohibited the law enforcement agents from doing more before this happened. Mm-hmm. Are there policies out there, and you know, that stopped them from arresting him, confiscating his weapons, mm-hmm. doing something more proactive,
right,
that could have prevented this horrible incident?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it just seems as though, I mean, it goes back again to the troubled home. I mean,
it sure does.
The police have been called out to this young man's family's home at least over 39 times is what I read. Then something is wrong. And the reason I brought up the size of the town is because it seems to me that it's not a complex city like New York City where there could be disconnections with regard
Absolutely.
To any incidents involving this young man. Parkland, where the high school was located, is not a big city, from what I can gather. So why was there no connection with the social worker, the police, and the school?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The fact that the police were called out to his home 39 times, there should have been a connection to a social worker. Look, what's going on with his home? What's going on in his school?
Absolutely.
And if the police were getting warnings, law enforcement, from what
That's right.
Was warned about this young man, that he was trouble. Why wasn't anything done?
And from what I understand, he was described basically as a time bomb going to explode.
Mm.
That for several years he's been mentioning, you know, he's going to do something drastic. So, you know, this is no surprise, but it's this should not go unchallenged.
No, absolutely.
It should not.
Mm, absolutely.
And those who knew about it should be held responsible, knew about his condition and were part of the 39 different complaints, from what I understand, before his mother's death on November the 1st, that she had to call the police because he threatened her. He hurt her.
Wow.
That's a troubled person.
Right, exactly.
Who probably needs to be hospitalized or something.
Right, right, right.
But
right.
Definitely he shouldn't have had access to weapons.
Right, exactly.
So I would like to know what policies prevented law enforcement from taking stronger action.
Exactly. There's so many issues surrounding this, and there's so many. We could talk about the failure of the sheriff's office at Broward County in Florida. And Barbara, I want you to touch on the fact that you've done a little more digging on this than I did. And I didn't realize that there were four police officers,
yes.
Or they're called resource officers, but four police officers who were assigned to that school and who apparently were on site, ladies and gentlemen. And before I go any further, we apologize we weren't with you last week. We had traveled down to Georgia. And so we'll give you a little bit of update on that later in the show.
Absolutely.
But today, Saturday, February 24th, 2018, we want to zero in on this and also the passing of legendary evangelist Billy Graham.
Yes,
but
yes,
Barbara,
yes.
Give us some insight on the officers who were assigned to that school.
Well, I know that the deputy Scott Peterson, he was 54 years old. He was a school resource officer.
He is 54. He's alive, right?
Yes. 54.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Is 54.
No, you said he was. So I just wanted to make
sure. Oh, is 54. Okay, because I'm
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
he was assigned at that school in 2009.
Wow, almost 10
years. He's been with the Sheriff's Department since 1985.
Wow.
His annual salary is $75,673. He was one of the four armed officers that were present on scene.
Mm.
Now, when our president was talking about this was, he didn't respond, and it was an act of cowardice, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think our president knew, neither did we know, that there were three other officers also that did not go into the school. When wow. you take that oath, you're taking that oath to protect and serve. And if this is accurate, that not only was Peterson there, but three others. Mm. And from what I've read, they all had their guns drawn when other officers showed up and charged into the school. Mm. But those four remained outside. They are not fit to be collecting the taxpayer dollars in that capacity, if this is true.
So I want to go back, and I'm sorry, I was just, when you said he was 54, I'm like, did he pass? No.
No, he's 54.
54, Scott Peterson.
And he resigned before they could suspend him.
So you mean to tell me he had been assigned to that school
since 2009.
Almost 10 years ago. When during the shooting, the massacre of the 17 students and teachers and the coach, what was happening? Do we have any idea what these four officers were doing?
They drew their guns.
Were they inside? Did they engage the shooter at all?
They did not.
Wow. That's a huge
they
failure.
They are unfit for those positions. Just like you have many teachers in our colleges, in our high schools, and even in our elementary schools that are not fit for those positions. They are political hacks, propagandized. All they do is spread propaganda. They are in those positions so that they can have a captive audience. They're not fit to be teachers of our children. And these four, if there were four, and, if there were three besides Deputy Scott Peterson, they're not fit to wear the uniforms of law enforcement agents.
Well, you're totally,
my opinion.
You're totally right. I agree with you. They are not fit. That's really shameful. And I guess Peterson was the most prominent one of all.
Yes.
Because he had been on the force, basically, from what I understand your research, since 1987.
That's
for over
1985.
So over 30 years.
Yes.
As a law enforcement officer, and at least almost 10 years at this specific high school.
That's correct.
And the moment that those students and the faculty needed him most, he did not engage the shooter.
No, he did not go in. That's what President Trump was talking about.
Wow.
But I think he was just focusing on Peterson.
Not realizing.
Not the other three.
Because he probably didn't
this
realize.
This just developed.
Wow.
Yes, that from what I understand, this just developed. That there were three others who remained outside. And I can understand, you know, someone with a more powerful weapon. But, I mean, there's such a thing as shoot and run.
Right.
That would have distracted the killer.
Right, exactly.
Shoot and hide. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shoot and duck. But shoot.
Right, exactly.
Most cowards like that killer, when they realize that you're armed, they run. How many times have you seen home invaders come in? And I've seen it on video. Mm-hmm. And when the house owner, the owner of the house says, I am armed, and they discharge you around, mm-hmm. what do the robbers usually do? Mm-hmm. They run like scared rats. Mm, 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 mm. So I have no sympathy, no anything for those officers that were on site and who were armed, because I have been in a situation. In my book, you'll find a chapter of where I was engaged in a shootout. And the weapon I had was a little .22 going up against a Glock. And that is a rapid-fire weapon. But I felt that I had no choice to protect not only myself, but my brother and my children. Mm-hmm. I shot my little .22 mm-hmm. and was shot by the Glock. Mm-hmm. But I did a shoot and run, but I got, you know, shot anyway. Mm-hmm. Shoot and run. Mm-hmm. And that saved the life of my brother.
I just want to zero in on this. Thank you, yes. Barbara, for that background information. So what you're yes. saying, if I understand you correctly, even if the officers were scared, because
absolutely,
human,
you get, yes.
But they should have at least engaged the
they
shooter.
They should have.
They should have at least shot at the shooter
and ran
or ducked for cover.
Absolutely.
So let the shooter know, 19-year-old, his name is not in front
you're
of me.
You're going to meet resistance.
Exactly. And that may have slowed him down.
That may have saved many lives. Mm. Because usually they're cowards. That's why they go in a gun-free zone in particular.
Exactly.
To make sure that they don't get hurt.
Exactly.
And then from what I understand, he posed as one of the students, and he almost got away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And now there are different levels to this. So we know there was a failure on the part of the sheriff's department.
Major.
And I was telling you earlier, my thought is, like with Mr. Peterson, you know, he went on the force. It's a small town. It's not the Bronx. It's not New Orleans. So he pretty much coasted on his job.
Probably.
And because he's been there for 30 years, he's up to 75,000.
75,000.
I don't even believe that New York City rookies, they don't start that high. So 75,000 in a small town, that's pretty darn good money. So he was coasting. And the moment it came, the moment they needed him, the moment when it counted, all the training and all the going to the gun
absolutely,
range.
Absolutely.
And the drills. I'm sure they do emergency drills.
It meant nothing.
It meant nothing. It added up to zero.
Zero, zero.
And 17 people were slaughtered.
That's correct.
Now, let's talk about gun control. As I think this is an important part of this whole topic. May I just give you my thoughts?
Your thoughts.
I think that you and I would agree, I think, with the president, that the average citizen, I'm for the Second Amendment. It's in the Constitution for a reason.
That's correct.
So let me just put that out there. But I also think there needs to be some common sense on this topic. We don't want people with troubled backgrounds, mental illness, particularly teenagers who are not fully developed emotionally, to be armed, to have a cachet of weapons. Why does a 19-year-old need an assault weapon? Why does a 19-year-old need an automatic rifle? Why? You don't even go hunting with those weapons, from what I understand, because you would destroy the animal. You're not just killing the animal. You want to kill the animal to eat it, not shred it apart.
No, absolutely.
And shred the forest with an assault high-powered rifle. So what is the purpose of those weapons?
Absolutely.
So sorry about that. So I agree with the president and those who say we need to look at assault weapons for individual use. Now, we don't want to go on the slippery slope of infringing on the Second Amendment. I think this is very important to safeguard the Second Amendment. But there has to be some common sense. My second point is look at Chicago. Chicago, from what I understand, has some of the strictest gun laws in the United States, and yet the criminals still have guns, particularly in the black community, south side of Chicago, where black-on-black crime is through the freaking roof.
It is.
So Chicago is exhibit A that gun controls in and of themselves are not
effective.
They
don't work.
Timothy McVeigh in 1995 took down the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City with fertilizer. He did not use a gun, and he took how many lives in 1995? So it's not about the gun. Look at what happened on 9/11. They had box cutters and knives on the planes, and they killed thousands of people. So to me, the gun is just an instrument. It's a person behind that gun. And I want to go back to the fact that the police were called 39 times to this young man's home. There was no connection to the school. You're in a small town. It's not like he lives in New York City. He goes to school in Manhattan and lives in the Bronx, and the Bronx police, the police were called to the Bronx home 39 times. It's in a small town of Florida. There were no connections made.
No.
And the FBI.
That's
major failure. Major failure. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, the FBI, while, you know, they're pardoning people and, you know, doctoring up papers and sending emails about hating Trump and don't want him elected, they're failing to do their job. Mm-hmm. We look to them as our supreme law enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. And they were even notified that this was he was a potential danger.
From what I understand, the office there in that location of Florida, they were notified in September of 2017.
Yes.
And notified again earlier this year.
Yes.
And nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
And I do think that's a failure.
I want to know if there is some sort of liberal policy that prevented our law enforcement agencies from acting more swiftly and more effectively. Mm-hmm. And if so, then that needs to be corrected. Because all of this political correctness and don't violate someone's life, it results in murder in many cases.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things, a lot of things have happened since the shooting in Florida. And some people think this will turn a page. Maybe. I hope there needs to be common sense gun laws. But we know that gun control in and of itself will not.
It doesn't work. It's not going to work.
It's not about gun control. But we do need some common sense gun laws, like doing mental health background checks.
I think yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You're fine.
I think they need to be intensified and they need to be more thorough. Right. But, you know, you still cannot predict. I could be, and God forbid, I won't even use myself, but Tom can be perfectly fit on Monday and have a mental collapse on Wednesday.
Well, that leads me, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Barbara, but that leads me to the whole discussion about arming teachers. That's come up a lot this past week. Now, there are pros and cons to it. The teacher could be armed and ready in case there, God forbid, someone comes in to kill students. But then to what you just said, and that's what sparked me to move on to this, is that you have a good teacher, normal person, John, and his wife. On Monday, he's fine. On
that
Tuesday,
to the average person, no, doesn't have to even be a teacher.
Yeah, but the teacher, then Tuesday, his wife tells him she's leaving him. I don't know. I think there's a risk to arming teachers.
Well,
they're human too.
There's a risk all any way you look at it, because the one who did that terrible deed in Nevada, he was an accountant. He lived a very comfortable life. Who could have predicted he would have done what he did? Who? I don't think anyone could have, but I don't think the average American citizen needs 22 guns.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't think that assault weapons should be sold to average citizens. Those are weapons for war.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for everyday use. You can't even go hunting with an assault rifle. So why would they need it?
Right.
I think they should be banned.
Right.
And I think the instruments that they use, or whatever they use, I forgot the name of it, mm-hmm. that they turn a regular rifle
bump stock,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that should be banned.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, but we cannot predict the human heart.
This is true.
The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things.
Yes, it's true.
So someone can be a Sunday school teacher one day, mm-hmm. and the next day, something clicks in his head and he's a mass murderer.
Now, let's talk about a couple other things, Barbara.
Yes, my darling.
I think that CNN, really in particular, is trying to exploit
the
emotions of the survivors of this tragedy.
That's just what they're doing.
This horrible domestic terrorist act to try to push this anti-gun policy. And some of the students, from what I understand, have been disrespectful to senators, to conservatives who have been on the panel.
Of course.
And the NRA, the National Rifle Association, obviously has been demonized in this whole matter. What the NRA has to do with this situation is beyond me. They do lobby Congress for the freedom to carry guns.
Absolutely, as part of the Second Amendment.
And Barbara, let's step back for a moment. We keep throwing out the Second Amendment. Let's just step back for a moment. I'm not a historical expert, but I just want to give a little background on the Second Amendment. One of the important reasons that the Second Amendment was added to the Constitution was that an unarmed citizenry is subjected to a dictatorship.
Absolutely.
The King of England had control over the 13 colonies, and the people who were here who wanted independence, the Americans, really were virtually not armed. They were not. It was a British army, one of the most sophisticated armies in the world at that time. So that's my 30-second history lesson and the importance of, and actually rapper T.I., whom you do not know, made a point. He said an unarmed citizenry is more likely to be enslaved. It's easier to enslave people, to control people, if they are not armed. That's kind of the reasoning, the purpose of the Second Amendment. Now, the Second Amendment does specifically mention a militia. So our point is, my point is, yes, I believe in gun ownership, but if you're not a part of a militia, why do you need an assault rifle?
I think assault rifles need to be banned, period. There's no excuse, no reason to have them unless you're in the military.
Right.
Assault. Look at the name of it. Mm-hmm. They assault other citizens with weapons like that. I think that there's no question they need to be banned. And the number of weapons that a person can legally own, mm-hmm. unless they are a gun collector or they're in the business of selling guns, mm-hmm. should be regulated very tightly and very closely.
I don't think one person needs to own 30 weapons.
For what?
Unless, like you said, he's a gun owner, gun collector.
Absolutely.
It needs to be registered. Look, I'm for gun rights, and I think it is important for the citizens to be armed.
You know what's so sad? It is very important, but you know what's so sad? CNN and people like George Soros, they pay these young, and I'm going to say low-functioning students, mm-hmm. who may not even have parental guidance to tell them, you don't get involved in this.
Right.
You know, they put them out there and have them saying things that don't even make sense. You know, any government that was taken over by dictators or whatever, the people were unarmed.
There you go.
The people were unarmed.
There you go.
And we never want to be in that position.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
And the bottom line is, if you ban guns, only the criminals will be armed.
There you go. And Chicago is Exhibit A.
Perfect example.
Chicago is exactly
just like, you know, when Bernie Sanders was running for president, and he boasted about it, he was a socialist. Well, show me in the world where socialism has worked.
Exactly.
Venezuela believed in socialism, and what
Absolutely.
Are they doing? Digging in the garbage cans.
Absolutely.
You know, Americans need to wake up and see the examples. We don't, you know, experience is not the best teacher. You can look at other countries. You can look at other civilizations. You can look back on history and see some of the disaster that has happened when man puts himself in charge, period.
Okay.
We're going for our break in a few minutes, and I want you to stay tuned to our urban story.
Well, actually, I counted you down incorrectly. We have five more minutes.
I want to read something that we're told that all of the shows should make this announcement. Okay, you can now listen to DDV Radio on your smartphone, tablet, or other mobile device. Download the free DDV Radio Direct Listening app from your device's app store. Visit your app store and search DDV Radio. Download the app and you're all set. The app is free and the fastest way to listen to your favorite show right here on DDV Radio.com.
Excellent, Barbara from Harlem. Good job. So, you know, I want to touch on the passing of the late, great Billy Graham.
Yes.
He passed away this past Wednesday.
Yes.
February 21st, 2018. Mr. Graham was, Reverend Graham was 99 years old. And we only have a few minutes before break, and we can't possibly go into all that he accomplished.
Oh, my goodness.
Barbara, if you had to think of one thing, the greatest impact, in your opinion, of Billy Graham, what would it be?
A great evangelist. He got the message out there. You know, I went to one of his meetings down in Central Park many years ago, and I was totally impressed because he preached the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And many people walked forward and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know if they remained that way, but that's what they did that day. I thought he was a remarkable man.
I did, too.
And then can I just add this? And the thing about it, what I loved about him is that there was never any controversy about him and other women and things like that. Usually, you know, that brings a minister down. And, you know, I read a long time ago that he wouldn't even get in an elevator with a woman. He never went to dinner with a woman without his wife. And, you know, I respect that. Well, that's what we need more of. He was a great example to men throughout the world on being a man and being faithful.
You know, the liberals, so many liberals, not all liberals, they just know no bounds in their hatred. And some editor at Teen Vogue, a magazine aimed at teenagers, basically said rotten hell B, calling Billy Graham a B. But it just shows who she is. It shows her disgrace. It shows her heartlessness. And it gets me with these liberals that they're so intent on fighting Christianity and trying to dismantle, or they can't, and trying to denigrate Christianity, that they look over the sufferings of women and children under Islam. But that's another story for another day. It was interesting and very touching to me that Billy Graham requested and is being buried in a very simple casket. And it was crafted by inmates at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana. Very infamous penitentiary, and I say infamous because there have been reforms, but Angola is one of the toughest prisons, from what I understand, in the United States. Billy Graham his body will lie in honor at Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Rotunda. I'm reading here that less than 35 individuals have had this honor, and they include Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Rosa Parks.
Wow.
Billy Graham's career expands decades. His ministry, from what I understand, from what I've read, kicked off in 1949.
Long time.
He was a minister to presidents going from Dwight D. Eisenhower on through up to Donald Trump. I don't know how involved he was with Donald Trump because of his age at that point, but Billy Graham has been a vital force in the American, and I just won't limit to the United States, but to the international evangelical community. Job well done, servant of God. We have 1 minute, Barbara.
1 minute. I don't think I can read this in 1 minute from the American Thinker. It's an article by Monica Showalter. The body of Reverend Billy Graham was not even cold before the Washington Post came out with at least three hostile opinion pieces about the man as a means of remembering him. Seriously, this is the man who once asked believers if Christianity were illegal. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Someone who had the grace to say things like this. Someone asked me recently if I didn't think God was unfair, allowing me to have Parkinson's and other medical problems when I tried to serve him faithfully. We're going to have to go to break right now. But remember, faithfully is the last word, and we'll pick it up when we come back.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Call free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait-and-switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
And we're back.
And we're back. Now, I was reading something that Billy Graham had said. So let me just start from the beginning. I told you to remember faithfully. Someone asked me recently if I didn't think God was unfair, allowing me to have Parkinson's and other medical problems when I have tried to serve him faithfully. I replied that I did not see it that way at all. Suffering is part of the human condition, and it comes to us all. The key is how we react to it, either turning away from God in anger and bitterness or growing closer to him in trust and confidence. Without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless. Believers, look up. Take courage. The angels are nearer than you think. To hear the Washington Post tell it, you'd think Graham was some kind of beast, that he was a horrible father whose time on the road evangelizing left an embittered wife and screwed up kids, according to this historian. You know, it's so sad that the godless have such darkness in their hearts that they don't see anything good in anyone unless they have the same dark ideology. Mm-hmm. That's so sad. Mm-hmm. But I bet you can't tell the millions of the people that Billy Graham touched with the message of truth, a message of hope, a message of strength. You can't tell them that he was like a beast. You can't tell them that his life was not meaningful. You can't tell them that he led them down a dark road that had no light at the end.
Mm. Wow.
That's my take.
Very powerful. Yeah, the Billy Graham's legacy will continue on probably for 1,000 years from now.
People I know
will still be talking about the late evangelist Billy Graham. I think it's fitting for who he was as a man that he is being buried in a very simple casket.
Yes.
Not elaborate, although he could afford it.
Of course.
One of the most successful evangelical ministries
that ever. I've ever known, yes.
But it reflects who he was, the humility, the knowing that none of us are greater than God, who deserves all the glory.
Amen.
And we will continue to discuss the impact of Reverend Billy Graham, not
yes.
only today, but next week and probably a couple more weeks down the road.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's important. You know, I was thinking this morning, I had heard years ago that most people become Christians before the age of 18. And I don't know where I got that statistic from, but I can believe it. And why do I say that? Because it's important to reach our children at an early age before the world kicks in. And that's what the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community
they don't want.
They right. That's why they want to get into kindergartens. They want
that's
to start
correct.
Because they know if you get a child at an early age, you can shape his or her vision of the world. So if the secularists and those who believe all kinds of religions that have nothing to do with the true and living God, if they know this, and that's why the leftists target television,
yes.
that's why they target education, to try to capture our young children very early. We need to get in there as early as possible and teach our young children about the Bible and the importance of Christianity as a branch of Judaism.
Well, when this country was first founded, the first book that they had in the schools, which were taught and led by members of the clergy, it was the Ten Commandments. That's the first thing that they, that's what we learned when we went, we took a trip to Boston.
Mm.
But in addition to that, I read from the Heritage Foundation that approximately 40% of the homes in America are producing children without families being intact.
Mm. Mm.
Number one, I think the devil has infiltrated our society and broken down the family structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if our children have a godly mother and a godly father,
mm-hmm.
that'll make them stronger. So when they enter school with these liberal, secular, humanistic
right.
teachers, they won't be so easily convinced to be out there protesting something that they don't even understand.
But, you know, Barbara, and you brought this up many years ago, at least mm-hmm. when you were going to this college that was ironically founded by nuns.
Jesuit priests.
Jesuit priests, excuse me, and which have been taken over by liberals.
Completely.
That there are really two worldviews that many Christians, average people don't, average person doesn't
Absolutely.
Really know about, that there are two worldviews. And why don't you just briefly go into that, please?
Well, I heard about the two worldviews through Dr. R.C. Sproul.
Mm-hmm.
And he recently passed, I think it was December 15th mm-hmm. of 2017.
Correct, yeah.
But I sent for tapes many years ago, over mm-hmm. 20 years ago, the secular worldview versus the Christian worldview, mm-hmm. or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started learning about human secularism.
Mm-hmm.
and how it is in total opposition to Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, secularism eliminates God or just limits God to maybe the trees or whatever, but not in the affairs of man. They're godless, period. Mm-hmm. Christianity, God should be the head of everything and first and foremost, and he gets all of the glory. So those are two conflicting views. And you see, when we follow the secular path, then we have a breakdown of the families. We don't realize how important it is to have a mother and father. God didn't just randomly say, honor thy father and thy mother, because those are key people in the life of children, mm-hmm. in the lives of children.
Right.
You know, it didn't say the village, you know, like Hillary Clinton came out with something about the village. What did she say about the village?
It takes a village to raise a child.
No, it takes a mother and a father to raise a child.
Right.
But that's a secular view, the village.
The village can help, but if various members
the
of the village...
The Bible doesn't speak about the village.
Right,
the Bible speaks about a mother and father.
I got you.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is the village can help support the mother and father.
We understand that.
But if the village is broken down to many people...
If the village is on fire, what good can it do?
There you go.
You know. We understand. Neighbors used to help raise... Used to watch out for us and tell my mother what we were doing and what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Those were the villagers.
Right.
You know, but you need the mother and father. And see, we've gotten the message, the liberals, the secularists, the godless have gotten the message out there through all sorts of media outlets, television, etc., that the father is not important. Mm-hmm. And they made it convenient for women to get more welfare benefits by not even knowing or saying who the father is.
Right.
And then you have them having babies by multiple mm-hmm. encounters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tom, Dick, Jerry, Bob, Fred, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the children have lost a family identity. I think that's what I call it, a family identity, because there was a time you used to be proud of your name. You didn't want to bring shame to your name, et cetera, et cetera. Now you have so many names under one roof.
True.
You don't know which way to go.
True.
And you have children with no father on their birth certificate. They don't even know who they are. They're looking for identity.
And that brings me back to the shooting in Florida.
Yes.
It might be a stretch, but I think it's all tied to the theme of the broken home.
Absolutely.
The student in question, a former student, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz. Now, I was going on Breitbart.com because I wanted to pick up on what you said earlier, that four of Sheriff Scott Israel's deputies waited outside of Douglas High School.
Yes.
During the shooting, I find that to be shocking and absolutely
disgusting. I find it to be disgusting.
Now, I'm just going to very quickly, if you can bear with me, Barbara, I just want to read this. CNN reports that Coral Springs police officers claim three of the Broward County deputies were outside the school but failed to go inside as well.
That's right.
Outside of the aforementioned
Peterson.
They quote Coral Springs sources who said that the three deputies had their pistols drawn and
were beside
their vehicles when Coral Springs officers arrived. They said not one of the deputies had gone into the school, unquote. And that's from Breitbart.com.
Cowards.
Wow. That is very shocking that police officers. So this is
who
bigger,
were armed.
This is bigger than gun control.
Can you imagine what they could have done? They could have made a square, whatever. You shoot. They could have distracted him. They could have saved many lives, I believe.
Well, what's shocking about it is that, particularly Officer Peterson, he joined the force in 1985.
That's correct.
These men, at least
they're
Peterson,
seasoned.
Exactly. He was on the force longer than Nicholas Cruz has been alive, and yet they allow this 19-year-old evil
to
monster
control the whole situation.
Control the situation.
They are. I think they're investigating whether or not charges can be filed against the police officers, and negligence
that's
of duty.
Really,
they were
shocking.
I mean, you had four armed law enforcement agents.
Right.
Four.
Yep.
They could have definitely saved some lives by distracting him. The boy, the nut couldn't have shot couldn't have covered that much ground. Shoot and hide.
Right.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it anymore.
On another note, The United States Embassy will be opening up in Jerusalem in May 2018, much sooner than I think most people realize.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
To celebrate, to coincide with Israel's 70th anniversary.
Wonderful.
Now, we know that that area, Israel, has been around for thousands of years. So when we say 70th anniversary, we're talking about when the state of Israel was refounded, if you will.
Refounded, that's true.
And recognized by the United Nations in 1948, May 1948. So that's very good news. Let's talk briefly, I think, about the Winter Olympics. The ratings have been down. I don't think the United States has done that well.
No, we haven't.
But what I want to zero in on is that I think what has happened in too many of these, whether it's music, movies, or sports, we're getting too bogged down into politics. And why do I say that? You had a gay Olympic skater who insisted on insulting Vice President Michael Pence because he's an evangelical Christian. He makes no bones about it. And like the late Billy Graham, Mike Pence will not have dinner with a woman who's not his wife, not alone.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And just because he doesn't support a gay lifestyle, you have, instead of focusing on being the best that he can be, he and another Olympic participant, they focused on attacking Mike Pence. Then you had Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn attacking Trump, and she failed miserably at the Olympics. And I think the moral of the story is, if you're a singer, athlete, whatever your job is, can you just please stick to that and stop trying to push your politics down everyone's throats? I think if the American team, and maybe I'm painting too broad of a brush, but if they were more focused on their athletics and on their sport, they would have done better than they've done in the Winter Olympics. And I do think it's shameful. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week because we were not in town. That the media fawned all over the sister of Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. Now, for those, everyone under the sound of my voice at this point should know that Kim Jong-un is a horrible dictator in North Korea. The North Korean people are starving, or maybe not starving, some of them starving, but they are living on the margins. From what we understand from survivors, from people who have escaped North Korea, it is absolutely horrible, terrible in North Korea. They have virtually no freedom. So for the media to fawn over the dictator's sister, I think is disgusting. And I'm glad Vice President Michael Pence ignored her when they would be at the different Olympic events. Your thoughts?
Amen. You know, and this, what is this, homosexual, yeah, Olympian? You know, he needs to read this commentary, you know, by Kyla Simon. It's old, you know, but it's a commentary about coming to terms with blood donations and men who sleep with men. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a very unhealthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They don't want to take blood from men who sleep with men. So, you know, while you're advocating for our, you're angry at our vice president for his stand, mm-hmm, for righteousness, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not even realizing that it's for your health. Mm-hmm. An unnatural lifestyle puts you at higher risk. Even the CDC will tell you that. Mm-hmm. The Center for Disease Control.
Correct.
So people who say, "Oh, let's have homosexual this," not, you know, they don't care about the effects. Mm-hmm. They don't care that, you know, HIV, it spreads rapidly among men who have sex with men.
But the thing is, that's Barbara, so your point is valid.
Yes.
But I also think it's bigger than that.
Okay.
It's about the assault on traditional values.
Absolutely.
This society was not built on...
It was not.
A homosexual idea,
agenda,
belief,
or anything,
or agenda.
It was not
built on Judeo-Christian values.
Absolutely.
And Judeo-Christian values dictates one man, one woman. God invented marriage. The whole concept,
absolutely,
of marriage in the Western world, to the best of my knowledge and ability, comes from the Holy Scripture.
Yes.
So as we have pointed out week after week, I think, if God invented, he has the patent on marriage, if
yes,
you know.
Yes, he does.
Right? Just like
he does.
Apple,
and his son does, because
Apple
his son
has the patent on the iPod.
Absolutely. And you alter it, you don't have an Apple iPod.
It's that simple.
And if you try to alter marriage, you don't have marriage.
It's not a marriage.
It's not.
You cannot have two men and two women cannot build a society.
Because they cannot
have children. They cannot reproduce.
They cannot.
That society, if we relied on homosexuals alone, we would have died out decades ago.
A long time ago.
But if they want to be divergent from the standard, the norm, and it's not a rigid norm and everybody has to be the same, because God created us to be different. We have different talents. We have different gifts. But there are certain standards. If you want to deviate from the standards, that's your choice.
That's on you.
But then don't demonize the people who choose to stay within the framework set up by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Absolutely.
Because apparently it works, right?
It definitely works.
We reproduce. We have at least 6 billion people on the planet. Two men cannot have a baby, nor can two women.
And I don't care how many shots you take. I don't care what you have removed. The bottom line, you can't change your biological makeup.
That's true.
Man thinks on one side of his brain, women think on the other.
Absolutely.
You can't change that.
Right.
And you'll never be a man if you're a female trying to be, you'll never be a male. And if you're a male trying to be a female, I don't care how many times you get your nails painted. I don't care how many locks of hair you have sewn in. And how many shots you get to develop breasts and have implants, you'll never be a woman.
And it's really that simple. And there
is
an agenda to push this transgender movement. There is no scientific basis for it.
No.
The American Pediatric Society, and please Google it,
yes,
is against pushing this whole transgender notion onto children because it leads to confusion.
Of course it does.
To your point, Barbara, you cannot change your biology.
You can't.
There are only two genders. God created only two genders. And no amount of science, the New York Times, Harvard, Boston University, Princeton, you cannot change it in all the world. When God told us in Genesis, take an animal, one male, one female from the different species, and we have not found anything different throughout the world.
And blood donations from men who have sex with men are restricted because of medical research.
Right.
That's all. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. You know, we went to a dance presentation when we were in Atlanta, Georgia. What's his name again?
Alvin Ailey.
You know, he, I believe, started in New York because he had a studio and all that. And I remember, I mean, it was many years ago, he died from AIDS. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a homosexual. Yeah. Very talented.
Very talented.
And his legacy lives on because they were performing at the Fox Theater in Atlanta.
Yes.
And I mean, oh my goodness, the ending where they do this rendition of Revelation, mm-hmm, that put it over the charts, over the top. It was a beautiful, beautiful presentation.
Yes.
But wouldn't it have been nice if he was alive, mm-hmm, and didn't die from AIDS, and he was there to see what
Alvin Ailey was a pioneer, I think.
Yes.
I mean, there were other dance troupes by African Americans. I forget her name. She's Catherine Graham. Her last name is Graham. But Alvin Ailey, this piece that he created is called Revelations.
Yes.
And I believe that put his Alvin Ailey dance troupe on the map.
I believe. Yes.
And is a brilliantly performed.
It is. And those Negro spirituals, I mean, took me back to Bethel AME Church in Deland, Florida, wade in the water. I mean, I was so thrilled. I almost wanted to just stand up and dance with them.
Mm-hmm. But we also, when we were in Georgia last week, we got a chance to see this great musical play called Illusions.
Oh, that was fabulous.
And the basis of the story was a young lady who inherited her magical talents. Her father taught her how to be a magician.
Yes.
And who let the Trinetta Love have the starring role, and she was fantastic.
Fantastic.
She acted. I mean, please check her out. Fantastic singer and outstanding actress.
Absolutely. We had a very wonderful time. Of course, we missed all of you, But thank God that, you know, we made it there safely and we're back safely and we're ready to just blow it out of the water.
Yes, the next coming months will be very exciting.
Yes.
We have some ideas on how we're going to get the book out there. We want to encourage you to tell your friends and everyone to pre-order on Amazon.com.
Oh, yes.
Just type in Barbara from Harlem and pre-order the book. It's scheduled to be released in May.
Yes.
And there's no money up front.
And then what was good about it, we came in last Sunday and we had a speaking engagement in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Tea Party. And I mean, that was a wonderful, wonderful, glorious group of people. And we had a question and answer session and we did the best we could. And we'd love to come to any venue that you invite us to, almost any venue. Mm-hmm. And we want to share our message. We want to talk about the book and we want to talk about what's going on in America because we need to stay together, fight this fight and make America great again. Miss Diamond, what do you say to that?
Yes, and thank you for tuning in. We will speak to you next week.
Have a wonderful week and God bless America.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness. Located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait and switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group. 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group. A proud proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.